like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Take Time for Jesus is coming into you by the way that you have receiving us. And we're just glad to report in Jesus' name that through the faith in Him and that shed blood at Calvary that we have the remission of our sins. We pray that your faith would be increased and we give God praise and honor for His time that He spent there on Calvary to give His life and shed blood that you and I as sinners could have salvation and believing upon the only begotten of God full of grace and truth, having faith in Him that we know that by His grace and through faith in the precious blood of Jesus that we have the remission of our sins and we no longer under bondage, but we have the freedom of there in Christ Jesus, born again of the water and of the Spirit, that we have peace with God, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. My wife's got something other here for you now that we want you to, hopefully that this message will increase your faith, because without faith, we can never please God, none of us. And without faith, we're lost without any hope. So Amen. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in the resurrection, death resurrection of the Lord our Savior, that because He died for our sins, yet He lived. As Paul made mention there one time, He was dead to sin, but yet He lived in Christ. So our hope is in Him and not in the things of the world. So may God bless you while we're reading of the scriptures here.
Well, praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord this afternoon and the opportunity that we can still lift up in the name of Jesus. Time is going to come when we're not going to be able to. And I believe those times are coming very soon. But there's a song about the God on the mountain, and I'm going to share today the trial of your faith. And I'm not going to sing it, but one day I might find the record and share it with you. But one of the verses in it is, we talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. But in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. Faith is a weapon of warfare, the shield which wards off the darts of the enemy, but there are times when the shield must be tried. When the attacks of the enemy are fierce to the utmost, the one who wields this weapon must do it boldly, knowing that there is power emanating from heaven which enables a resistance against the most severe attacks of the opposing elements round about. There must be a determination on the part of the soldier for Christ to go through with victory. When one has Christ enthroned within, meeting with oppositions of the enemy, passing through fiery trials, and enduring hardships and persecutions does not take away the victory, for this is the victory, even our faith. It is our privilege to have the victory before the severe battle begins and to continue to have it in the hottest conflict with the enemy when Satan is raging with all his forces on every hand. When the shield of faith is constantly held up and we are moving on the perfect line of truth, the conflict will end with glorious victory. Sometimes from an outward appearance, and were one to go by feelings in the matter, it might seem that defeat could not be avoided. However, as a true follower of God does not walk by feelings, but by faith, he has the assurance that so long as his faith is centered on Christ, he has a victory through Christ, and all the powers of Satan are unable to make a passage through the presence of God, and his presence is round about us as a wall of salvation. Oh, how precious to be hid away in the secret of his presence, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, 3, and 4. Truly, we can be true to God in time of trial. It will result in experiences and will be entire, wanting nothing and better fitted for what is before us. Again, the apostle said, the trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When people are true to God in all things and passing through severe trials, they are getting much gold, yea, something more precious than gold. They are having experiences that will strengthen the soul, enable them to stand more firm, and rejoice in the glory of God. They are having experiences that will strengthen the soul and enable them to move, to stand more firm, and rejoice in the glory of God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. Faith enables us to look beyond the realm of human vision and lay hold upon things unseen. It enables us to grasp the eternal promises of God as we get a sure foothold upon them, their solid foundation, and the truths implanted in the heart. We learn not to stagger when things are swept from before our eyes, but continue looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When we learn just what he has promised and learn to lay hold upon them with perfect submission to his will in all things and determination to go through, our souls will take a wonderful advance and our pathway will be crowned with victory all the way along. Daily prayers will diminish your daily cares. And I just praise God that we can have the faith, no matter these little trials that come upon us, whether it be from sickness, if it be from tragedies or whatever. We put our faith in God and he will see you through. People that don't know God and they have so many trials and everything, it kind of grieves my heart to know that they have nothing to do but, you know, their own little pity parties and everything. But just remember, when you're going through a trial, let God help you, and he will. I know I'm going through one now, but I look to my God to be the healer. He's a master healer, and I know he will come through because I have faith. Remember, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. Put your faith in Jesus, and all things will work out to your benefit. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Scripture tells us in Hebrews that faith is a substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. So we need to understand that yet we don't see maybe our prayers being answered, that we pray by faith, looking unto the Lord to bring forth something other that we need, maybe healing for the body, salvation for the soul of some of our friends and our loved ones. We don't see no evidence of it, but faith is something other that you don't see, but the evidence of the things that are not yet seen. But my God is able to do exceedingly more than we even think about if we would just put our trust in him. Trust is faith, my friend. But when you say, I know God can do these things, but the but probably comes in as a doubt. My friend, if you know that God can do these things, ask of him in faith, believing, and wait upon God. He's got a time appointed to bring forth that which you have asked for. He may say, okay, it may happen just in the matter of a few minutes or an hour or so or the next day. But then again, he may say, wait, because it'd be a better time a week later or a month later, that it would bring more praise and honor to him and a better situation for you. So sometimes he may say no. We've got to understand that with God, he knows what's best for all of us. We often think that we know what's best for us and everything, but we really don't, my friend. God knows everything from the beginning to the end and all in between. He knows what we need. He knows that we have need of food and raiment, and he will supply it. He's never let me down, and I believe he's the same way towards anyone. I know that sometimes we seem like that we go and there's nothing that we can find or do or see, but it's having faith in God. You don't see the things happening, but God works in his way and in his time, that even as some people say behind the scene, he's working, my friend. He worked on yours and my behalf when he came in through the Old Testament times, through the prophets of old and through the judges and the law and everything. But the law couldn't save us. But God had a plan that he was going to bring forth salvation unto all that would be there in the world. It included every person. We know that how God chose the Jewish nation and Abraham, and he said that through his seed that all nations would be blessed, and through down through the years when Jesus came on the scene, born of a virgin and brought forth there, and he came for the purpose. God was manifested in the flesh to come into this world and therefore to bear our sins and iniquities upon him, and they nailed him to the cross. Now, we have faith in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the salvation through his blood that we have remission of our sins. If we believe that, my friend, then you're just getting in the right place to trust in God. But without the faith, as Hebrews talks about us, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he comes and he must live that it is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know that how that Noah, by faith, he built the ark. And by faith, he finished it every 120 years. He was teaching the people there to believe upon God, repent, and everything, but nobody did. But now, my friend, when he had the faith that things was going to be even as God had told him, we know that how that down through the years that faith has become something other that some people just don't believe in. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. I mean, they said, why do we want to believe in something that we can't see and we can't touch or feel? Well, my friend, faith is a subject of things not yet seen, but the hope that we have in Christ. One day we will see him. I believe that with all of my heart. One day we're going to see him and coming in the clouds of glory to receive his church. And if we're not in that taking away of the bride of Christ, we got hope in that, then we're going to be okay. But if we don't have hope in God and looking forward to that day of God when he comes and takes his bride to be with him, if you don't make it there, friend, you're going to have to go through some terrible times. But there's no sense of us having to go through that if all we got to do is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary 2,000 or so years ago, before you and I ever came into this world. He died for you and I. He paid the price for our sins, and therefore if we'll accept him as our Savior, believing upon him and repenting of our sins and being taken into his glorious time and faith and believing and accept him and the atoning price that he paid, then we can have faith in Christ. It don't take a truckload or a mountain of faith to move anything. It's just a grain of mustard seed. When the apostles asked him to increase the faith, well, my friend, I've been preaching in several different places and everything. I've had people to come up and say, Brother Compton, I want you to pray that God will give me more faith. My friend, if you want more faith and you ask for it, you're going to be tried as though by fire in order to increase your faith. But if you've got as much as a mustard seed faith, which is a small amount, you can say unto the mountain to be moved, and it should be moved. I don't mean a literal mountain. You may have a crisis in your home, a loved one that is lost, or maybe sick, or maybe cancerous, or whatever it might be. And it could be a mountain to you. But if you have that mustard grain faith, you can pray and ask ask God for deliverance, and it will come, my friend. You may not see it happening right then, as flesh wants to see a loved one healed, a heart attack, or whatever the problem may be. It's a mounting to you. You want to see it right away. It may be a few days later. It may take a month or so. But God works on things not like you and I. We desire to everything happen instantaneously. We live in a time that when you got everything instant this and instant that and everything. God works in his own time and in his way that he will bring it forth for the glory, for his glory, and for your and my ability that we believe in him and have faith in him. He'll work it out for us. And my friend, it's just one thing. He says the scripture teaches us that we don't know what God has in store for us, but we have hope in him, and he will supply our needs if we will believe. The children of Israel was in bondage there. He delivered them after such a long time. It was about 400 years or so, and therefore he brought them out with a great substance. He was in the wilderness, and they taken all the gold that the people had given him and made a gold calf. Then he got upset with them, but through it all, them that believed in him, they came out of the wilderness. He fed them manna from above and a quail there and all, and he supplied their need, and there was no store around for them to go, but he supplied it. But my friend, if we believe the scriptures, believe in the Lord God of creation, believe that he manifested in the flesh and came into this world to die for us and to give us a remission of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can have the promises that God has promised us. It may be that you wish for something other, and you desire something other, and you want something other, and it may not come true. But my friend, he said he would supply our needs. I know that many people have come and gone into this world and passed on different works of one thing or another from some kind of disease and everything. But look at it this way. God has a way that he will take his people into his domains or into the place of faith, even though we lose our loved ones by whatever it means. He doesn't heal, but he's got it all worked out. Just remember this, even though we go by the way of the grave or through some unfortunately disease of some kind, whatever, accident, or through some tragedy way and everything, rest assured that if we died in the faith of Jesus Christ, we'll rest in that hope that we have in him, that upon that day of resurrection, the day that the Lord comes to claim his own, we're going to come from the grave, from corruption to incorruption. If we are alive and remain, we'll be changed from mortal to immortality. In that new body that we have, likened unto Jesus Christ, it'll be still a form of a body form as he had when he come out of the tomb, but it'll be glorified. It'll be without any more sickness, without any more tragedies, without any more of the things that happens to the human body in this world or whatever the disaster may be. It'll be peace and joy forevermore. But my friend, we're going to have faith in God believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and he will give us the promise that he has said, that he would give us a desire of our heart. If your desire of your heart is to be with the Lord at his return and be ushered in by God himself into the place that he said he would go and prepare for us and receive us unto himself, my friend, you're going to have faith. You don't have to have a truckload, but just that little faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have remission of sin through that shed blood. But you got to believe. You got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I know we come short in many times. The best of us, well, sometimes we mess up. But the thing of it is, when the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, chastens you, when you know you, when it brings forth that you made a mistake, and if you repent right then, acknowledge that you were wrong and God is right, and believe, and your sins will be covered, my friend. That's what the blood of Jesus can do. If we have faith in him, the promise that he has made to us can be ours if we have the faith. My friend, it's just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. He said, there's a song out, said, faith, faith, a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, but just use what you got. My friend, it was the scripture teaches us that to every man that's born into this world, there is a measure of faith dealt unto him. Using that would increase by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people may not believe, but I don't have faith in this and I don't have faith in that. You don't get what you want without some faith. If you go to your job and you get up the next morning, I have faith I'm going to be able to work today. That's part of it. But if you don't have faith, you ain't going to get there. Chances are you won't make it. My friend, there's been a lot of people that started out to do something or other, but they done it because they thought that they were strong and they could do anything. They were maybe invincible come into their mind that I can do whatever I choose to do. And they started out and got nothing finished because they didn't put their faith in God. My friend, without putting your faith in God, you're not going to make it. Plain and simple. You put your faith in the things of this world, in the material things, and in your own ability, and leave God out of your life, and you don't accept him and that precious blood that Jesus said shed for your sins, and the promise that God has gave to us there through the scriptures. If you don't believe in that, my friend, you are lost. If you don't have hope in this world, in all things, if it's only hope in this world and the material things of this world, you're miserable and don't realize it. My hope is in Christ Jesus, and I hope you'll put your hope in him, because his death and resurrection, it gives me hope to know that because he lives, I can live. Not I, but him live in me. To know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit of God lives in you. My friend, unless you experience that feeling and that knowing and for surety, you have lost out on something other that's great. You would understand what I'm saying by receiving the Lord into your life, repenting of your sins and asking him to save you from your sins and come into your life. By doing so, God has promised us salvation and righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to have the faith in him, because without the faith, you can't please God. Without faith in him, there's no hope for you. But we need to understand that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through what he done at Calvary, what he brought forth because of him coming into this world, we are before the grace came, there was under the law. But they lived under the law, but they couldn't keep the law. So the law couldn't save us. Through the law and the works of the law couldn't save us. But when Jesus came into this world as a babe, God in the flesh came for the purpose to die on Calvary's cross. Though he prayed in the garden there that night, Father, if it's thy will this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he prayed this prayer because he knew that you and I was Gentiles, lost in darkness and under the curse of death without any hope. But he had promised Abraham through his seed that all nations would be blessed. And so down through the years that come, that Mary was a lineage out of David, wherein that he was a king that God chose over the Jewish people. And out of her came that Joseph and Mary was out of the lineage of David. He was their ancestor, in other words, and through the bloodline. And Jesus came through her, manifested in the flesh, and came and born into this world knowingly what was going to be the outcome. But he was faithful until the day they carried him and put him on the cross. He's still faithful. And he cried out there on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You got to understand, the Roman soldiers crucified him, and they didn't take his life, but he gave it. He didn't spill his blood, but he shed his blood. He didn't do it for show or for something, but he done it for you and I, that we could have salvation, because the law couldn't save us. But through that precious blood of Jesus, we have the remission of our sins, because he took upon him our sins and our iniquity, tearing down the middle wall of partition that brought forth the salvation to all that would believe and trust in him. Then they have that opportunity that to have Christ, the hope of glory. We need to understand that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. But the blood of animals couldn't save us. It just pushed it back for a while. But it had to been done continually every year. But through the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God himself provided, as Abraham was to carry Isaac, his only begotten son, up and sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto God. When Isaac asked his father, he said, Father, he said, here am I. He said, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And he told him, he said, God will prepare himself a lamb for the sacrifice. My friend, that ram that was caught in the bush that Moses offered up in the place of Isaac unto God, that the lamb that was not a lamb, but the lamb that he was speaking about, there was a lamb of God that he came forth out of this fullness of time when God sent his own son into this world. And he was called the Lamb of God. When he came to the River Jordan to be baptized of John, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that through his seed that all nations would be blessed. My friend, we got to accept the Word of God as truth. We got to accept it as it is and not try to change it in any way like some people have done. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins to be forgiven. Through his blood that he shed, he made it possible that we as Gentiles could have peace with him, be joint heirs together with him, and become in the commonwealth of Israel, wherein that otherwise we were without any hope. Dead to the world, dead in sins, trespass, without any hope. But through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that he made, through faith in his blood and the sacrifice and in his name, we have remission of our sin. And my friend, that's the only way we're going to make it. You can do all this and go to this and confession this to a man and all this and say all these here other prayers of this and that and one thing or another. But the prayer of faith into Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive you of your sins, the only thing that God's going to accept. Praying to other things and oil and making them gods before God, they ain't going to get you nowhere. Faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, born of the water and of the Spirit, born in this world of flesh, we need to be born again. As Nicodemus said, how can a man when he's old enter the second time? If you can't understand the things of the world, my friend, how are you going to understand the spiritual thing? Jesus was telling Nicodemus he must be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. must be born again or you will otherwise enter therein. That means accepting the atoning price that God paid for your sins and mine. There on Calvary, the giving of his life and the shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins. And he called us all to repent. Repent. And that is, some people is, well, Jesus come into my life. My friend, that don't help much. You need to say that, but you need to mean it. You ain't walking the old same trail that you walked in after you asked him to come into your life and forgive you. You change. You turn around and go opposite from where you were going. You walk in the light of the gospel through faith and walk in the light of the gospel, not in the darkness of this world, because this world is teeter-tottered on destruction, my friend. The only thing that's going to be brought forth life into us is by faith in God and the shed blood that Jesus shed. Some denomination says, well, this and that and one thing or another. You got to belong to this one, you got to belong to that one. Friend, if you haven't been born again, I don't care what the name over the building you go to worship. If you haven't been born again, that denominational name is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. It's that name of Jesus is above every name. Through faith in him, through the blood that he shed, is what's going to get you there. The book of the Bible's you're going to be judged, and I will be too, out of the Word of God. And then another book's going to be opened, in which is the life. The book of born again, in other words. And when he comes and opens that, there, and the angel looks and he says, the name at your name is found on the book of life, then you can enter in. But if it's not there, then you're not going to make it. And the only way you can get your name on the book of life is to be born again. You was born into this world in sin and iniquity. We know that, or should know it. But we need to be born again. Nicodemus said, you can't enter the second. No, you can't. But through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting the atoning price that God paid by the giving of his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, and gave his life on Calvary, bearing your sins and iniquities and mine upon him and nailing them to the cross, if we believe in faith and trust in him in faith and believing on the sacrifice that God made by the giving of his Son and through his shed blood, if we'll accept that as atoning price for our sins, God will forgive us of our sins, my friend. You need to do it as the scripture teaches us. Broken heart with a contrite spirit, he said, would no wise cast out. But that just going casually, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you still do the same old thing you've been going. It ain't going to work, my friend. It's not going to work that way. You got to truly repent, be in godly sorrow of your sins, let God know that you want to change, and by his help and grace, he'll bring a change in you. But the change has got to come. You got to go and turn around from what you were into and leave that behind you and go on and press toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus by seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. But without all that, you're lost. I would be lost. Anybody's lost. You can say, Hail Mary, come into me, full of grace and all this here stuff. And you can go to the Pope and confess your sins. You can go to one of those or this or that. You can come to me, even that, confess your sins. But I can't save you. Neither can man save you. The only salvation comes through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood that God shed there on Calvary for yours and my sin. That's the only way you're going to make it, my friend. There's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, which gave his life, shed his blood for yours and my sins, that we can have the remission of our sin. It's the only hope that we've got. Without that, we've got no hope. Without that, we're still sinners, lost in sin, and on the way to a devil's hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because that so many people wants to go, it's enlarged itself to accommodate them. But it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and give God praise and honor, seeking after him, forsaking not the assembling together where they assembled together for the purpose to serve God and calling upon the name of the Lord. Or there's a lot of places that they go and they call them churches. But if it's really a church where God is welcome there, the devil's going to go every time. He'll be there. He'll cause a disturbance if he can. I've been in the places where the devil used people, and how's that, Brother Cotton? Well, they jump up, scream, holler, kick over the chairs and everything like that there, and they say it's the Spirit of God moving. Paul says there's very little profit in bodily exercise, but a lot of things have done was out of order and caused disturbance. That's not God, my friend. Everything he does is going to be decently and in order. And a lot of times it's come to be a lot of confusion more than in order. My friend, it's got to be done a godly manner, and God will be in it. But when it comes out of order, you know the devil is there to bring forth a distraction and cause chaos. My friend, it's got to be. I've seen it happen, and a few times I've thought it was one thing when it was something else. But I praise God to know that there is 9 gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the discernment of the Spirit. And when we ask God to help us, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, comes into us, and when he comes in to abide inside of us, in our thoughts of our heart, of our minds, then God is there and will guide and bring you into all truth if you will allow him into your life. But it's got to come through repentance. The church at which God purchased with his own blood is the only way that we're going to make it, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't join it, but you're born into it by the new birth. Born of the water and of the Spirit, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the precious blood of Jesus as the atonement for your sins, turn around, walk in the opposite direction, forsaking the things that are the world and cleaving unto God, seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body, giving him praise and honor, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, because without the faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to have faith in him, the finished works of Calvary, in order to make it into the kingdom of God. Jesus told him there, he said, the Spirit of God, he said, it can't come. In other words, the Comforter can't come or will not come. He said, I got to leave. I got to go and everything. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. Jesus, being in the flesh of the human flesh, as at that time, he could not be with you wherever you may be, and me here in this where I'm at. But in the flesh, he couldn't do that. But in the Spirit, he can be with you wherever you're at, and be with me also. My friend, that was what the necessary promise of the Holy Ghost would come and abide with us. And it did come. It abides within you. To know ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you have repented and the Spirit of God dwells in you, my friend, you are in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of God, you're none of his anyway. Without God's forgiveness of your sins and the blood being applied, you're still in your sins. If Jesus had died, was buried, and if he had not arose from the dead as he said he would, his death would be in vain and your salvation wouldn't be. But he died. He brought forth the gospel to the apostles there, and he taught them there, and therefore he was crucified for us. He died. He was buried. The third day he rose from the resurrection and come forth, and he's alive forevermore. My friend, it's got to be. That was the way God had planned it, that you and I could have salvation. Forgiveness of our sins, only in the hope of the resurrection that we have life. In Jesus Christ, But because without him, we're dead in our trespasses. Without the remission of sin, we're still in the dead zone. You may be still walking around and everything and alive as far as the flesh is concerned, but far as spiritually concerned, you're dead. So we got to have the life that Jesus had purchased for us, eternal life through him, through the shed blood that he shed there at Calvary, that for our sins and washed, cleansed, and made whiter than snow, though they were red as crimson. Through his blood, now how did he take red blood and washed us whiter than snow? That's God's business. I don't know how he done it, no more so than I can explain how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. That's none of my business. I'm not concerned about it. I'm concerned about yours and my soul being having that hope of glory in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we can enter into the kingdom of God through the precious blood that he shed, and we can have that hope in Christ that one day when that time comes, that God be revealed from the coming in the clouds of glory and come forth and take his bride home. My friend, it's got to be a rejoicing thought in your heart just to know that your sins is under the blood and you're right in the sight of God. To know that one day these promises that God has made that will come to pass. He said, I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, it's our hope in Christ. Faith in the precious blood that he shed. Faith in God, knowing and believing that he would fulfill all that he has promised, giving us life that we can have life and have it more abundantly. My friend, some people think that because some of these here preachers are preaching prosperity and everything, and they preach and use these scriptures of this, they give and they give and give and they increase their banks and you decrease. My friend, we got to understand that God is not interested in the material things of this world. He don't care about you, how big your bank account grows or how big your mansion is you live here in this world. They're going to be destroyed. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Didn't mean that he's going to build you one separate up there with gold and silver line and all that. But he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. My friend, that meant there was room for all that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Buy it without any cost, but it was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your righteousness and my righteousness, our salvation was purchased there at Calvary. Didn't cost us anything but the world. Turn aside from the things of the world, seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart. Faith in the promise that God said he would come again and receive us unto himself, and we would have that place. John in Revelation described the city of light coming down out of heaven. They're adorned as a bride for her groom on the new earth that it's going to be. And it was a city four square, any way you wanted to look. 1,500 square miles, my friend, and there was a light that would never go dim because the light of the city was God himself. My friend, and he was there. And if you read it and it gives you the description of it, my friend, and you'll know that it's more glorious than anything in this world. This world couldn't possibly conceive it, but the Spirit of God will allow you to understand it if you'll read it in Revelations there in the 21st and 22nd chapter. It'll tell you a lot there if you'll read it. My friends, there's a lot of people, they don't want Revelation because it lets them know that without Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and hell is going to be your place of survival, if you want to call it that. But a place of torment, absent out of the presence of God for eternity. The rich man said, let Lazarus come that he may tip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, which was the father of faith. God has prepared a place for them that love him and his appearance, that where they can have that peace, joy forevermore. No sickness, no dying, nothing will be like an end of the kingdom of God. But my friend, you got to repent. You got to believe. You got to have faith in the sacrifice that God made of his only begotten son. This shed blood there, you got to reach out with that mustard grain faith and catch on, latch on to the hem of the garment, praying and seeking God. For life is precious in the sight of God. But it's not precious enough that he's going to let you walk through this life doing whatever the old flesh desired, committing sin, a murder, and all these here things, and then ask you to, then tell you it's okay to come on into the kingdom. It ain't going to happen, my friend. You got to repent. You got to stop doing all the sins that the devil will put there. And therefore, the God of this world is the enemy of your soul. He'll talk to you about you can achieve this and you can achieve that. He even told Jesus, he said, I'll give you all of this, the kingdoms of the world, if you bow down and worship me. But Jesus told him, thou shalt not have no other gods before him. He didn't deny that it wasn't the devil's to give, but he just said, thou shalt not have any other gods before him. My friend, the devil will promise you everything. And he'll make it look so glorious. He'll make it look so neat and so pure until he's an arch deceiver. He'll deceive you, but when he comes and casts into hell, which he knows he's going, but he wants you to go there and be with him. You ain't going to enjoy it. He ain't either. But the thing of it is, you're going to be in hell when those that have repented to be in the kingdom of God, rejoicing forevermore. Worm is in hell, never dies. The fire is not quenched. No water, nothing but just darkness. Flames of torment. But in the kingdom of God, there's light. There's peace forevermore. No sickness, no death, no more parting. Where even to the lamb will lay down with the lion. Where the child will play on the snake's den. And oh, wouldn't you rather have that than you would be the promises of the world and die and go to hell and be cast into outer darkness? I'm persuaded to believe that you'd rather, but my friend, it only comes through faith in Christ. Faith in the sacrifice that God made by the giving of his own son, through his life that he gave, through his blood that he shed. And that's the only way you and I have any hope. The shed blood of Jesus, it cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness, brought us into the light of the gospel. And by the preaching of the word that we are come to be, the faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And we need to understand that if you don't go to the place that where preaches the truth and the truth is not brought forth, you're in the wrong place, my friend. Go to a place where the gospel is being preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ, him crucified, his death and his burial, resurrection is being preached, and faith in the blood of Jesus and not in the things of this world or man or whatever, but my friend, faith in God, in Christ Jesus, through his blood that we have remission of sin, not through this here, whatever it may come that some of them go through, rituals of all kinds. This and that. There's plenty of gods out there, my friend, but there's only one true living God, and Jesus is his name. A lot of people have different religions, they call it. Religion is different from salvation. You can be religious over your wife or your automobile or whatever. You can put that before God, and that becomes your God, a religious. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have him first, and whatever he gives to you in honoring you for your faithfulness toward him, giving you a good companion, children that'll be faithful, and looking unto him to be the author and finisher of our faith, my friend, he will bless and undertake and give to thee the desires of your heart. But you got to put him first. You got to believe in the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Accepting his grace, that he shed there on Calvary. She accepted his love that when they stretched him out there, his arms there, stretched out into the world, there, showing his love that he had for the world, that all, whosoever will, could have remission of their sins if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the sacrifice he made through that precious blood that he shed and have it applied to your sins. Turn around from your sins and iniquities. Walk in the light of the gospel, reading the word of God and becoming true Christians by that new birth. That's the only way it can be, my friend. You can't get there no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is, was, and always will be the truth and the life. He is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to give him your all, and he has paid his all for you in order to you to give to your all. You couldn't do it without the finished works of Calvary. No man can come to him without the Spirit of God draws him. Many people have come and said, oh, I'm a Christian. But you can say anything. I can say I'm a president, but that don't make me the president. Living the life, showing the world, let Christ in you the hope of glory, that they see him, not you, but see Christ in you the hope of glory, that they would give and rest assured that you have repented your sins underneath the blood. My friend, that's the only way we're going to make it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. In him is life, my friend. Anything else is death. But if you want to have that life, you got to repent. You got to believe, have faith in the sacrifice that he made, the giving of his life, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You got to have that faith. Use that little mustard grain faith, calling upon the name of the Lord, repenting of your sin, be godly sorrow, turn around from your sins and walk in the light of the gospel, calling upon the name of the Lord. He'll guide and lead you into all truth by his spirit. But you got to be born again. You got to have it by faith. You can't see faith, but you can the evidence of it, but you know that it's there. And when it comes to be the where you can see it, then you'll say, God, I thank you. I praise you, because it'll come by the faith that is in Christ Jesus that you have. That prayer will be answered, and it'll be in such a way that you will recognize that when you ask God a week ago or a month or a year ago, when it comes to pass that he fulfilled that prayer and answer that prayer that you prayed, and it comes to be, you're going to recognize it, and you'll be glad, and you'll give praise and honor unto God himself for the answering of your prayer. It may come the same day you ask. It may be a few days later. It may be even a year, but it will come if you believe and have faith. Faith is a subject of things not yet seen, but the evidence of things that yet not seen. My friend, it's come time that we're going to have to exercise that mustard grain faith in calling upon the name of the Lord. Hope we said something other that would increase you. Hope in God, your faith in him, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your personal Savior, and repent. May God bless you, those that have wrote to us. We appreciate it. We're praying for it. And we pray that you would pray for us as we pray one for another. May God richly bless you and keep you. And always pray one for another is the will of God. And by faith, God will answer your prayers. May God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus. to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.